Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Great Barrington's Historical Society's 2018... No, let's try that again. Great Barrington Historical Society's 2019 lecture at St. James Place is Elizabeth Freeman's Case for Freedom, the End of Slavery in Massachusetts and the Black Berkshire Community in Post-Colonial America. The talk is by Dr. David Levinson. It's scheduled for May 11th. Levinson is a cultural anthropologist, former vice president at Yale University's Human Relations Area, and an anthropological think tank. That is an anthropological think tank. He is co-author of 1 Minute of Free Woman, Elizabeth Freeman and the Struggle for Freedom. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. David Levinson to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
A great pleasure to have you on the program. Again, you'll be giving this lecture on May 11th in Great Barrington. Give us a sense of what you will be talking about in the case of Elizabeth Freeman.
Well, I'm going to try to talk about several things. Elizabeth Freeman is a woman who's kind of entered American history, African-American history in the 1980s, 1990s. She was long forgotten or ignored. And she's come to our attention because she was involved in a lawsuit back in 1781 in Great Barrington, where she sued for her freedom from slavery. She'd been enslaved by the Ashley family in Sheffield. And she won the lawsuit, and she was freed. And the lawsuit was long cited as ending slavery in Massachusetts. We now know, and everyone agrees, it was one of a number of things that entered slavery, that ended slavery in Massachusetts. It wasn't the only thing. And it really wasn't the final step either, but there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. But she's become sort of a minor historical figure. She's now appears in, you know, regularly in college and high school textbooks and so forth, and there's been a number of books written about her, not just ours. So I'm going to talk about her suit for freedom and talk about some of the controversies that have emerged around what that suit was all about. And I'm also going to talk about her life in a more general sense, because she actually had a very complicated, rich life. She was a nurse. She was a midwife. She worked for the very powerful Sedgwick family for many, many years as a servant after she was freed. And interestingly, because of her ties to the Sedgwicks, we actually know a fair amount about her life, which is quite unusual for, you know, Black people in that time period. They were just sort of, they were ignored. People, they didn't write much about themselves, and they were largely ignored by whites. So we actually know a lot about her life. So looking at her life tells us something what life was like for Black people in the Berkshires during that period of time, in the late colonial, early independence period.
So let me stop you. Let me just stop you there. Tell us a little bit about what we know about her life and what it does tell us about African-American life in the Berkshires at that time.
Well, one of the things that it tells us is... what I sort of just said is that even after slavery ended, they were hardly equal. Most Black people were poor. They were mostly subsistence farmers. They couldn't raise the capital or grow the crops or whatever to progress in any way, to, you know, to expand how much land they owned, to build businesses and so forth. So they were really second-class citizens. They were outside mainstream society.
So I guess I'm interested in her life in particular. Tell us a little bit of a biographical, short biographical sketch of her. Who she was.
What
and
we
how
know
she came
about
to the
her
area.
Life, yeah. With some confidence, that she was born over in Hudson County, Columbia County. Her parents were probably enslaved by a Dutch family over there. At some point, she was brought over to Sheffield, to the Berkshire. She went to work in the Ashley household. We're not quite sure at what age she came over, what year that was. It was probably around 1760 would be my guess. And then she worked as a nanny, as a maid, as a cook in the household. And Ashley was the wealthiest man, the largest landowner. He had a whole industrial operation going in the Southern Berkshires. And he had probably four or five slaves, a couple of men who, you know, did some farm work, were drivers for him, and then a couple of women in the house. You know, most other people, very few people had slaves in Massachusetts. And so she was, you know, a servant in the house. She worked in the house. And, but as the story went, Ashley was also involved in politics. He served in the legislature in Boston. And me and Ned would meet in the house and discuss politics of the day, a lot of it, which is about, you know, getting free from English control. So she heard these discussions. She heard the talk of the new state constitution in 1780, 1781, about all men being created equal. And she wanted to be free, and that got her thinking, this is the way I'm going to become free. And so she then went to this lawyer, Theodore Sedgwick, in town and said, look, the Constitution says this. I should be free. I want to go to court and file a suit. And that's how it proceeded. And once she was freed, she went to work for the Sedgwick family as a servant, doing much the same work she did for the Ashleys, except she took a much, much, much larger role in the Sedgwick house, because Mrs. Sedgwick suffered from long periods of depression. So much of the running of the household, raising the three youngest children, fell on Elizabeth. She took the name Elizabeth Freeman after she became free, fell on her. So she really became a surrogate mother for these children. And she developed this very close relationship with them, which remained in effect. She left the household last 20 years of her life. She lived in her own home. But she still, you read the letters, you read their journals. It was sort of a mother and child relationship with these Sedgwick children. So that was somewhat unusual. But she also worked as a nurse and a midwife. When she was enslaved by the Ashleys, she still left their home, went down to Canaan, Connecticut, nursed people, delivered babies. She continued doing that in Stockbridge when she moved up there with the Sedgwicks. So she managed to amass some money. So she was able to buy her own house. And when she died, she owned a home. She had 19 acres of land. It wasn't very good land. So, it, you know, you couldn't have a really productive farm on it. And she had a daughter, and she had grandchildren, great-grandchildren. They and various in-laws all lived there with her. So quite unusually, when she died, when she died, 1829, she had this home, 19 acres of land. She had savings of $400. She also had, we have a copy of her will, which is an incredible document. It's so detailed. She had lots of fine clothing, lots of jewelry, which she stipulated exactly which great-granddaughter was to get each piece.
Wow.
So it was, you know, she was an unusual woman. You know, most, including some, not just black people, white people too, at that time struggled. And so she was unusual in how she managed her life, managed other people's lives, raised the Sedgwick children. So, you know, while she was heroic in some sense in the suit for freedom, in my view, she was also heroic in how she lived her life. And we need to look at that and talk about that as well as the suit for freedom. And that's how people in town remembered her,
yeah,
as for, you know, in these roles.
And it's important to understand that history because it does give us a context that we otherwise would not have had.
Yeah, that's my point. That I think we, it's very easy to take these people and turn them into heroes or heroines and look at this one piece of their life and forget that they were human beings. And there are a lot of other pieces involved and other people. And we get a much richer picture if we look at it all.
Well, it is fascinating. Dr. David Levinson is a cultural anthropologist. He will be giving the talk, Elizabeth Freeman's Case for Freedom, on Saturday, May 11th at 2 o'clock at St. James Place in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. This is put on by the Great Barrington Historical Society. You can go to gbhistory.org for more information, gbhistory.org for more information. Again, Dr. David Levinson, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Great. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.